Good morning. Really, really great to see you. Thankful we get to be together today. It is a very special blessing to be able to come together today and spend some time praying together and singing together, studying from God's Word, having that opened up in front of us and meditating on the things that God has revealed to us. It seems like an extra special blessing today when we consider all the difficulty that our friends and neighbors and some of us have gone through since the storms this weekend. A great loss, monetary loss, physical loss. Certainly the people who have passed away causes a hole to be in the lives of many. And so we want to be mindful of that, seeking ways to comfort and encourage those who are going through such a difficult time. I'm thankful for this place. I'm thankful for this family. I'm thankful for the love that is continually displayed to one another and the willingness to help and encourage. And so we are richly blessed. Let's remember those who are facing things that are difficult at this time. What we want to think about today is actually, clearly it was something that was scheduled well before the events of Friday night, Saturday morning. But we're going to talk about the idea of what it means to practice resurrection. I wonder how many of you have thought that before, thought about what it means to practice resurrection. I have to give credit to a Kentucky boy, a Kentucky writer by the name of Wendell Berry. Wendell Berry is a guy who's written poems and novels and all kinds of things, and he's a local guy from here in Kentucky and has made good, become famous, all those kinds of things. He's got this one particular poem. And it's not the kind of poem that rhymes, but he's got this one particular poem that's called A Manifesto of the Mad Farmer Liberation Front. That's an unusual title, but he's got a whole series of these poems about a mad farmer. Now, here's why the farmer's mad. The farmer's mad because he sees too much materialism around him. The farmer's mad because he knows that we need to know our neighbors, and he sees too many who don't want to know their neighbors anymore. And the farmer's mad because he knows we need to take care of and enjoy God's creation, and he sees too many who just don't care. And the farmer's mad because he sees people don't enjoy the everyday adventures that God provides anymore, too consumed with screens, right? And the farmer's mad because people don't take care of each other the way they should. And so there's this manifesto of the mad farmer. And the very last line of this poem just has these two words: practice resurrection. And so I thought to myself over the years, well, what did he mean by that? What did Wendell Berry mean by practice resurrection? And more than that, way more important than that is that a concept that the Lord would have me think about? Is that something that I should be doing because the Lord would call me to do that? Is it a biblical concept? Does the Lord Jesus Christ call for you and me to continually practice resurrection? Well, I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is that. We just read from Philippians chapter 3, where Paul says there, what I'm striving to do is to truly come to know the power of the resurrection. I'm striving to have the power of the resurrection be a part of who I am and what my life is all about. In other words, what Paul was saying so many years ago was, I seek to practice resurrection in a way that brings glory to God. That didn't mean that Paul sought to literally die and be raised every day, but he wanted to know what it meant to truly live and practice the resurrection of Jesus. And so that's what we're going to think through today. That's what we're going to talk about today. Because here's something you maybe haven't thought about. You and I have actually been practicing resurrection our whole lives. Because that's the way God made us. That's the way God made the world. You might not have thought about it before, but you have. You've been practicing resurrection. And we're going to get into that in just one moment. But something I want you to think about is that I want you to move beyond. The Lord wants you to move beyond accidentally practicing resurrection. And He wants you to move to a place in your life where you intentionally, with purpose, with thought, with meaning, with feeling, the Lord wants you to practice resurrection. So we're going to talk about that today. I'm looking forward to this study, and I think that it's something that is really, it's become even more pertinent. Because what is it that takes place whenever you have a violent tornado sweep through an area? You have literal, actual death. You have people who lose their lives. But you also have these other things where buildings go away, possessions go away, things that you used to really cling to, they go away. And if you're going to pick up and go on with your life, what do you have to do? You have to practice resurrection. You have to start a new day by getting up and going on and doing something else. So let's think about this. Let's look at what it means to practice resurrection the way the Lord would have us to. First of all, there's this concept. It's that we're going to be practicing resurrection in a physical kind of way. Now, how often have you stopped to think about the design and setup of God's creation? Because here's what's happened. God, in His infinite wisdom, God, in His limitless power, could have made the world any way that He wanted to. He could have chosen so many different ways to make the world, but He chose this way. Just think of two occurrences. We're going to talk about seasons and sleep. Seasons and sleep. Just think about that. Why do we have four seasons? Why is there spring, summer, fall, winter? Why do we have those things? Why do we have these four seasons? Why is there all this change we have to deal with? And why do we require sleep? Why did God make us that way? I saw something somewhere where the experts say that you're going to spend one-third of your life asleep. So depending on how many years you live, that's going to be hundreds of thousands of hours. Why did God make us that way? Why did He put all this change on us? Why did He force us to be the kind of people who need sleep? Well, my contention is God put us in this physical world that acts this way, operates with seasons, necessitates sleep, is because He is putting up on us, forcing us, He's designed us to practice resurrection. Let's talk about the seasons first. Look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. In Genesis 8, 22, the Bible says that while the earth remains, listen to these things, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, He says, while the earth remains, these things will not cease. Simplified, as long as you're alive, you're going to deal with the four seasons. That's going to happen until the Lord returns. There's going to be spring, summer, fall, winter. That's going to keep happening. That's the way the Lord made this earth. Seasons, what they do for us, and here's the way that the Lord forces us to practice resurrection. Seasons instill in us this longing. Because I don't know, maybe you're like me. I love experiencing the four seasons, but also, I guess I'm fickle because I can't wait for fall, and then I can't wait for winter. Then I'm like, boy, it's cold. I can't wait till it warms up. Then when it's warm, boy, I can't wait till it kind of cools off. I keep having this longing for something else because I know that it's coming. I know that a change is coming. I know something different is coming. The Lord has instilled in my heart and in my life to look forward to a change. Do you ever anticipate that? Do you ever get to the point where you're like, 20 degrees, I'm over that. I'm ready for something warm. And then you finally get, boy, it's been 100, enough. I'm ready for it to get cold. That's the way this world is. The Lord has built this incredible world of ours to where it's instilled in us that we look forward to that which is coming next. And what He wants us to do is experience it and love it and enjoy it, be enthralled by it, appreciate it. When spring and summer roll around, because what's just happened? What's the characteristic of fall? You see the leaves literally falling to the ground. What's that indicative of? Very soon you're going to look out and see those trees that are bare. And you just get this feeling of, you get this sense of death. But then when the green starts to come back and the colors start to come back, what do you now have a sense of? Renewal. New life. God has built into His creation death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. You see it over and over and over. We are practicing resurrection. And so when you have this feeling, this longing of something greater, something better that's beyond this world, it's because the Lord made you that way. And you've been practicing resurrection. You didn't even know it. But then there's this idea. Romans 11, verse 22, the Bible says, "Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who've fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in that kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off." One of the things that we're to recognize is that the changes in seasons teach us about kindness and severity. Severe weather, like we have experienced, severe weather can cause us to feel the power and the wrath of God in a way that we don't like. No one is calling for a tornado to come to their area. But we see the severity in God's power when we see that. But then we practice resurrection when we go through those changes and we come out on the other end stronger and better. I was speaking with someone just right before services a little bit ago about my own experience growing up in Oklahoma City and the tornado right in the middle of Tornado Alley. 1999, the most powerful recorded tornado at the time ever recorded, went through Moore, Oklahoma in 1999, destroyed our church building. Now, thankfully, it wasn't during worship, so nobody was there, but destroyed our church building. And that sounds so terrible at the time, we were devastated, but you know what? We went from this little known, out-of-the-way location to this big, beautiful, wonderful building in a prominent spot that just changed everything. There was this wonderful resurrection that came on the other side of the loss and death from before. Sometimes it's difficult to see when you're in the moment. It hurts, and no one says it doesn't hurt. It hurts. But if we practice resurrection, we go through these changes, and we learn about God, and we learn about ourselves. I think part of the reason why the Lord made the world as He did is so we would practice resurrection. Then there's this. Let's talk about sleep also. Psalm 127. Listen to these words. Psalm 127, beginning at verse 1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to rest late." So it's in vain. You get up super early and work super late, eating the bread of anxious toil. But now listen to this. "He gives to His beloved sleep." God blesses us with sleep. We practice resurrection each time we lie down for rest and then awake the next day to face new challenges. Because what is it that we're learning through that? Our need for sleep reminds us that we're just creatures. We are weak, fleshly, temporary creatures, and we are in desperate need of being renewed. Don't you know that's right? You ever feel that feeling at the end of the day and you plop down in a chair somewhere and you think, "I'm whipped. What I need is to get to bed. Because I know that if I will get some good, solid sleep, that the next day I'll feel so refreshed. I'll feel so much better." And so that's emphasizing to us that we're in constant need of renewal. Our need for sleep reminds us that we're limited. Our need for sleep reminds us that we cannot just carry on nonstop. Go without too much sleep, and you start going crazy. You do. I've been there. I've been sitting at a keyboard, right, trying to get... What was that? You start seeing things. You need some sleep. You're going crazy. Your body and your mind can't handle it. You've been designed to work and to rest. Not to only work and work and work and work. You've been designed to work and rest. You've been designed to rest and then get up renewed. Get up and practice resurrection. Our need for sleep reminds us that we depend on God. He's the one who restores. He's the one who sustains. He's the one who gives strength. I want you to read with me these lines from Isaiah 40. We mentioned it recently, but we didn't read it together. I want you to actually read it with me this time. Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 28. Isaiah 40, 28. This is what the Bible says about practicing resurrection. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint or grow weary. His understanding's unsearchable. He doesn't faint, but we do." Look at verse 29. "He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So those who've gone through the period of weariness, of being beaten down, of being hurt, are able to rise up anew because of the strength and power of God. He's the one who restores and sustains and gives strength. Now, these are just a few of the things that we learn by practicing resurrection, even when we hadn't even thought about it. Just day in and day out, we've been doing this, whether we have given it intentional consideration or not. But now, what about living with purpose and being intentional about practicing resurrection? How do we do that? How do we practice resurrection on purpose and give God glory? So let's talk for a minute about, instead of just physical resurrection, seasons and sleep and things like that, let's talk about spiritual resurrection. Here's the first thing we need to be intentional about. We'll just put this word, invest. And what we mean by that is invest in something that's beyond yourself. Invest in other people, invest in other things, but invest in something that's beyond you. To go back to Wendell Berry's poem, he has this line in the middle where he says, do these two things. Invest in the millennium and plant sequoias. You know what that means, to invest in the millennium? Do something today that's going to make a difference in 1,000 years from now. Do something today that's going to impact somebody else. So do something today that you'll never even see the fruit from. If you plant a sequoia tree, it's going to grow to be hundreds of feet tall. It could be 30 feet wide. You know how long it takes a sequoia to be fully grown? I read somewhere it's north of 500 years before it'll be fully grown. So in other words, when you plant that tree, you're not thinking, I can't wait to see what this looks like when it's finished. When you plant that tree, you're saying, someone after me will enjoy this. Someone after me will benefit from this. And so the encouragement here is this: you do something today that you won't see the end of, but that you know will rise up later. You practice resurrection today by investing in someone else, by doing something that's going to make a difference tomorrow. To practice resurrection, you might even have to give up something today. You might have to give up some money today. You might have to give up some time today. You might have to give up some energy today. You might have to give up something today so that you can make a difference in someone's life tomorrow, so you can make a difference in your own life tomorrow. This is what Paul was talking about in Philippians 3, verses 7, 8, and 9 that Mark read for us. Remember, he said, all the things of the world, all those things that used to be so precious to me, money, status, I count all those things as rubble, as refuse, as garbage. I'm willing to give up all of those things. I'm willing to put all those things to death so that I can practice resurrection, so that I can have something tomorrow that's greater than what I have today. Paul was willing to give all those things up in order to help others and himself to know Jesus Christ better. Now, one major way to practice resurrection in this way would be to pass on the knowledge of God to the next generation, right? A very well-known passage. Let's read it together. Go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, let's read starting at verse 4. I know you know it, but listen to it again in this particular way, where we think that what God is telling one generation to do is to tell the next generation how to know God. What one generation is commanded to do is to practice resurrection by being able to raise up something in another generation that'll come later. Deuteronomy 6, 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. And these words that I command you today, they shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. See, you share something today that makes a difference for tomorrow. Teach them to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, it should continue to make a difference to you and your family and those who come in contact with you. We practice resurrection by passing the knowledge of God from one generation to the next. That allows the next generation to rise up and call the Lord blessed. Another way to practice resurrection intentionally is to die to self. Invest in your own future. Now, what is happening here is this. Go to Matthew 16, verse 24. This would be one example of many places we could look at, but Matthew 16, 24 is a great place to look. Jesus just had this conversation with the disciples about what it is to be Jesus the Christ, that he's the one, he's the answer, he's the way. And then Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 16, 24, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to follow me, what you have to do is deny yourself and take up a cross and follow me. Luke would write it this way, take up your cross daily. Every single day, take up your cross. Die to self in order to live for Him. Because that's what it is. Let me emphasize that one more time. Taking up a cross doesn't mean just put up with things that are hard. Taking up a cross doesn't mean just deal with certain pains and issues you have in life. Taking up a cross means death. The cross was the instrument of death. And so if I take up a cross, that means I'm dying. But if I do that every single day, if I take up a cross daily, that means I'm dying and rising, and I'm dying and rising, and I'm dying. I'm practicing resurrection because I've died to self in order to live for Jesus the Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, he speaks of making Jesus Christ your life. That if he truly is who you seek to be, who you seek to know, who you seek to be with, then you die to self in order to see and live for him. You practice resurrection. Every single day, choosing to die so that we can then really live. Invest. If you want to practice resurrection the way the Lord would command us to and expect us to, then you're going to invest your time and energy. Invest it in other people. Invest it in other generations so that they can rise up and call the Lord blessed. But invest in your own future. Die to self in order to rise up and live for Him. That's where it starts. Oftentimes, it's played out this way. You make recognition of the fact that you are a sinner. You recognize the fact that you cannot save yourself. You recognize that you need someone outside of, beyond you, to pick you up, raise you up, and give you life. And when you finally understand that it's Jesus who's the giver of life, you name Him as your Lord, you repent of your sins, and you are immersed into a watery grave to be united with Jesus in a resurrection like His. When those sins have been washed away in that grave, when you've been raised up to a new life like Jesus, you begin this life of continual resurrection. Then there's this, not only investment, but there's the idea of intentionally and on purpose choosing joy. Again, to quote from the Mad Farmer, he says that what we should do to practice resurrection is this: be joyful even when you've considered all the facts. Now, see, too often when we consider the facts, oof, work's hard. Oh, my boss is, oh, my kids. That's what I say. No. Life can be hard. And when you start listing, instead of counting your blessing, you start counting all the ugliness, sometimes it can be hard to continue to be full of joy. But Wendell Berry wasn't unique when he said, consider all the facts and then choose joy. That's Scripture. That's Jesus. Paul would write in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he said up there in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. From a prison cell, he can say, I rejoice because I know Jesus. From a prison cell, he can say, I rejoice because Jesus knows me. From a prison cell, he can say, I rejoice because my future is secure because of Jesus. I choose joy even though I know all the facts. Practicing resurrection means experiencing times and circumstances that are hard and that are painful, but coming out on the other side with a spirit of joy. Knowing that the blood of Jesus cleanses us, knowing that the blood of Jesus washes away our sins, that helps us to see beyond our present darkness. It helps us to see life on the other side of death. And so I can consider all of the facts and then still choose joy because of Jesus. And in doing so, what I'm doing is I'm coming through the ugliness, I'm coming through the death, and I'm practicing resurrection every time, choosing joy in spite of the circumstances. Then there's this. That's making the choice to love other people. And that means loving other people that are easy to love, loving other people that are difficult to love. It means loving other people who maybe don't expect it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus said this, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So part of what he's saying is this. What you're going to seek to do is, in this case, you're not going to seek to practice resurrection yourself. You're going to seek to help others practice resurrection. You're going to invest in other people to help them get lifted up. You're going to invest in others to help them get to a place where they can finally get out of what they've been in. Practicing resurrection means helping other people live a godly life. We see someone who's been knocked down, we see someone who's been injured, and we seek to help them stand back up. Physically, like when storms hit, we are often so good to give our time and our energy, and that is one of the things that I couldn't possibly express enough, how thankful I am for this group here, this family here, who seeks to give back-breaking energy and time to people when they hurt, they go through something hard. I don't ever want that to stop. But how many of us think about spiritual hurt? Like when we see somebody physically hurt, we can address that. But we too often, and myself included, we too often see spiritual hurt and don't address it in the same way. Or we don't even see it, don't even acknowledge it, don't even look for it. But we ought to also be the kind of people that seek to help those who've gone through spiritual storms as well as physical storms. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, Paul speaks of seeking to comfort those who've been in any affliction. And I think that would certainly address those who've gone through spiritual problems. To see someone who's been knocked down, to see someone who's been stepped over, to see someone who's been stepped on, to see someone who's been left for dead, and then to help them get back up is to practice resurrection. It reminds me of Luke chapter 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? You remember this, Luke 10, verses 29 through 37, where the priest and Levite, they pass by. Here's someone who's been left for dead, and they just pass by. What makes a Samaritan good? Was he helped this guy who'd been beaten up and left for dead. He helps him practice resurrection. Been left for dead, and he helps him get up, binds his wounds, heals him, puts him in the hotel, pays for his needs. He helped him get up. And that's what we seek to do. We seek to love others, and in turn, we all practice resurrection together. But that brings us to this last idea. All of us have been through dark and trying times. Quite clearly, would be lying if we said anything else. Some more than others. We've all been through times where we've been kicked and left on the ground and left for dead. All of us have faced a moment where we essentially said to ourselves, well, I can just roll over, I can just give up, and I can just give in, or I can get up and face the day. To practice resurrection is to get up again. To practice resurrection is to acknowledge the pain, to acknowledge the difficulty, but then by leaning upon Jesus the Christ, by calling upon Him and His will and His power, we get up and we face the next challenge. Every one of us has something we've got to get up from. I'm reminded of Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son, right? You remember this, you know it so well. The prodigal son takes his inheritance before its time, goes off to a far country, and just wastes everything. Not only is the money spent up, but he's used up. And he finds himself there in that pig pen. And he is literally down. And it says in Luke chapter 15, about verse 17, he said to himself, it says he came to himself. And what he's going to do is he's going to arise and go to the Father. He's going to go to the Father and say, I have sinned. And so what he's doing is he is practicing resurrection because he's been knocked down. He's been left for dead. And what he's got to do is get up and go back to the Father. It may be the case that that's who you are this morning, where you are this minute, that where you're sitting right here, right now, you are down and you are in the pen. And what you've got to do is practice resurrection. You've got to get up and you've got to go home to the Father and tell him that you have sinned, so that he can restore you, so that he can give you life. The Lord has put it into our lives and into our world that we're going to practice resurrection whether we want to or not. What he calls us to do is do it on purpose. He calls us to love others. He calls us to choose joy. He calls us to invest in the things that will last. He calls us to practice resurrection. There's coming a day when we're all going to be raised and judged. So what you ought to do is begin practicing today. If there's any way that we can help you, any way that we can encourage you, if that means you need to repent of sin, come home to the Father, means you need to be washed in the blood of Jesus, we encourage you to start practicing resurrection while together we stand and sing.